This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. Happy Monday to everybody. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend out there. Lots going on. Seahawks win. We'll talk a lot about that. We got the Pete Carroll press conference coming up at 3 o'clock today. Our player spotlight at 5:30 features a guy that I would bet, Dave, that some didn't even know was on the roster. That's Tony Jones Jr., who got thrown into action, sort of emergency duty after Ken Walker got hurt and DJ Dallas got hurt and Travis Homer wasn't even active. So, yeah, it was down to Tony Jones Jr. Good guy. We'll talk to him at 5:30 today. So a lot happening, and a lot happening in the world of baseball. Big signings going on. Nothing involving the Mariners yet, but a couple of the big names, Trey Turner off the board to Philadelphia and Justin Verlander headed to the Mets for a cool, what, $43 million a year?
Yeah. That was easy, easy math there.
Yeah, I like
the other
that.
One was a little more difficult. 11 years, $300 million.
yeah, what does that work out to? I don't per year. What's your radio math tell you?
Oh my gosh! No, I 30, not quite $30 million.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be okay with that.
Yeah, I hope so. You're just under just a skosh under $30 million a year. But yeah, I mean, look at the. Holy smokes, $43 million. Justin Verlander's worth it, though.
And it's guaranteed. Unlike football, you get every dollar of that.
Well, it's incredible his age, number one. And we'll get to the Seahawks game in a second. But the fact that he is coming off of Tommy John surgery. And to have that surgery that late in life, I mean, if that's a football deal, you have an ACL replacement when you're in your late 30s, 40s, whatever, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty amazing, man. I mean, good for him. And more importantly, good for the Mariners, because we don't have to worry about facing him, you know, in an Astros uniform. Now, unfortunately, if there is a rotation and a franchise that can withstand that kind of loss, by all accounts, it's the Astros. Yes, you're certainly better with Justin Verlander, but it doesn't sink the ship by any stretch if he's not there, based on what they have to work with. So that's you'd hope for a big, you know, that it would hurt them. But according to all the analysts and things I'm reading about the youth that they have and what they currently have on the roster, not a huge blow, which is unfortunate. Meanwhile, Seahawks win, Dave. Seahawks win, and it became a division game. We couldn't have said it more often before the game that, boy, the Rams just always give them a tough time, and it doesn't matter if they're a great team or a bad team. Or apparently if they've got Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, or Aaron Donald. they had the lead until, what, just under 2 minutes to go, and the Seahawks pull off a come-from-behind win against a team that I thought they would go in there and handle a little bit easier than they did.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just think once you get into the game, and it kind of brought me back to when I was a player, that you're not looking at what guys are hurt. You're not looking at what their record is. You're just looking at what you're looking at on film. And you're going, man, they have some guys that can play. And then, you know, and to sort of emphasize that, the one throw that Wolford made that was a 1 foot in, I think they ended up having to kick a field goal there. And I think he threw it to Brandon Powell. I can't remember who caught it. Where Rabel and I were kind of in the corner, we're watching like right behind John Wolford make a perfect throw. That was a perfect throw. And the receiver should have got his feet down and should have been a touchdown for them. But, you know, they held him to a field goal there. But that's where you see, I mean, everybody in the NFL, I think it was a Nick Saban quote where he said, every player in the NFL is capable of making plays, and anybody who doesn't understand that is foolish. And that is the case. And I thought that was a really good, gritty win. We got one thing checked off the box, right? Box checked with Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Engineering that drive, going down and scoring with, what, 30 seconds left? So that was a big one. Bobby Wagner played his tail off. He really did. I couldn't believe it, man. He was everywhere. I was just going back watching the game again, and he was all over the place. He did not get an interception, though.
No, we'll get into that later.
Holy smokes.
I don't know what the heck that was.
But we'll
certainly get into Bobby as well, because that was a huge part of this game, obviously, not only a division matchup, but facing a guy that's been a pillar with this organization for years and years and years. But huge day for the receivers, Dave. Tyler Lockett had a big day. DK Metcalf had a big day. And Tyler Lockett talking after the game, just to the importance of a win like this.
Man, I think it means a lot just to be able to get this type of win, just because when you look at some of the games that we lost, we had an opportunity just to be able to finish. And sometimes we got penalties. Sometimes we kind of like hurt ourselves and pushed ourselves in the foot. And just being able to have this opportunity, knowing that we're down, we're away, and everybody bought in. A lot of people had big-time catches. Noah had a big-time catch on the drive. DK had one, Keys had one, and then DK finished with the touchdown. Man, that's why we practice 2 minutes all the time. That's why Pete's focal point is being able to make sure that we take advantage of these 2 minutes, because you never know. That's what ends up telling you whether you win or lose.
Did he say punched himself in the foot?
I thought he said pushed ourselves in the foot.
Pushed ourselves in the foot.
Maybe it was punched. I wrote that down as soon as I heard it. I was like, huh?
I'm like, wait, did you mean shot yourself in the foot? Is that what you... Yeah,
Should we listen to it again, Bob?
Yeah, let's hear one more time.
Man, I think it means a lot just to be able to get this type of win, just because when you look at some of the games that we lost, we had an opportunity just to be able to finish. And sometimes we got penalties. Sometimes we kind of like hurt ourselves and pushed ourselves in the foot. And
pushed ourselves you're right, in the pushed, foot. Pushed ourselves in the foot. Okay, well, we know what he meant.
This is a guy that's right up, he's Lefko's spirit animal here. Yeah. Because threw him under the table.
Pushed myself in the foot, though, when I go under the table.
So good. I love that.
Yeah. No, but his point was a good one, that they were able to go down and make some key catches, made some big plays.
Well, he was 9 catches on 12 targets, 128 yards and a touchdown. And DK Metcalf, 8 catches, 8 targets, 127 yards and a touchdown. I mean, you're two pillars at that spot. Your two guys came up huge in this game.
Yeah, and that's because the run game really wasn't going, right? I mean, that was something that did not happen, and so we'll get into that as well. But you know, I thought those guys came up really big, and Geno made some really nice throws. So yeah, they kind of had to. I mean, also, you know, you're down to a running back that you mentioned that we hadn't really heard much about. And, you know, with all the injuries, and I thought it really made it a glare. The Travis Homer injury is really a glaring injury now, because I thought this would have been a great chance for him to step in. I like Travis Homer. I think he has developed into a different kind of player, but now he's injured, and, you know, you're just gonna have to go with whoever, and we'll see what happens next week. But yeah, I thought the receiver stepped up big. I want to say that was, I think that was Tyler's season high, and then I think DK's total was his second highest yardage in a game this year. So really good job by those guys.
Well, and it was great to see, because, you know, we saw the heat between Jalen Ramsey and DK Metcalf, and DK received that penalty during the game. You're like, all right, man, you can't be that guy. You can't hurt the team. I understand the fire, and I love it. I love the trash talking and all of that, but you're like, okay, don't let that impact your game. And when it mattered most, he won.
Three receivers right side, DK Metcalf to the left with Jalen Ramsey on him. Geno takes the snap, 4-man rush, gonna half roll, throws back inside, reaching out, making a catch, touchdown, Seahawks! Are you kidding me? It is DK Metcalf! Ramsey was all over him. DK puts those big mitts up and says, that ball is mine. And the Seahawks take the lead 26-23. What a dart thrown by Geno Smith.
That ball's mine. And he's right. Ramsey was all over him. You see the pictures and everything. It's hard to blame him for that. You know, if you're being honest, it looked like the coverage was pretty darn good. And he was all over him. He comes up with a huge catch with 36 seconds left on the clock. And it was a masterful drive. I mean, it ended in beautiful fashion, but it was 10 plays, 75 yards, 2 minutes and 20 seconds that it took, leaving 36 seconds on the clock. And that's exactly what we've been talking about. What does this look like when Geno's got they're down. They need him to drive the field. You got just a limited amount of time to work with and a few timeouts, and we saw it. I mean, he was pinpoint. He was hitting Metcalf. He was hitting Noah Fant with a big completion there. Even Jones, he was targeting him. So it was just he was spreading the ball around. He was cool. He was composed. And that was the one thing that we'd been talking about we hadn't seen yet.
I have to say that when he threw that ball, I was like, oh, no. I mean, they did not look like DK was open, that there wasn't any space in there. So, yeah, kudos to him for trusting his receiver to just go up with the, like Rabel said, the strongest hands in the NFL as far as a receiver goes. But, yeah, did you see the whole thing where every time he went in motion, Ramsey's throwing his arms up in the air, and Ramsey is very much an antagonist.
Oh yeah,
and they're going back and forth and back and forth, and I kind of like him for that. I've always liked Jalen Ramsey, but I think that was just kind of getting to DK a little bit, and so he gets the last laugh on that too. That's the other thing that stands out. I mean, obviously it gives you the win, but for that matchup there, and him kind of trying to make it look like DK, I thought it was kind of like a going after his manhood or something there. Like every time he throws his arms up because DK goes in motion, like you're shying away from this fight that we're having. And, I thought that really particularly got to DK, and I don't blame him, but for him, and he didn't even turn around. I don't think he said anything to him. He just kind of ran off the field. That was a nice vindication for DK in that whole little battle that went on there.
Well, and we saw DK wave to him that one play where they showed him like, I'm going over here. He pointed like sort of like, meet me over here. I'm going to this side.
Why don't you come with me?
Yeah, he was going right to left, and he was pointing like, here, I'm over here. Come on.
Yeah.
And they completed a pass. Ramsey didn't follow him, and they completed a pass to DK on that. But yeah, I love that stuff. I love, if you can develop a rivalry that we look forward to each and every year, and we'll see it in the final game of the season. But that kind of stuff is fun as long as it doesn't go too far to where it costs your team. That's my fear is DK's a passionate guy, and he came up with a penalty because of it for whatever reason, whatever he said or did. But you don't want to see it get to that point where it's hurting your team, obviously, but it is fun to watch.
Yeah, what is this, DK's fourth year? I mean, he's still a pretty young guy, still pretty raw, and he caught
every... still just 24.
Yeah, he caught every single thing that was thrown to him.
Yep, 8 of 8. 8 targets, 8 catches.
Yeah, so, and he was only a yard behind Tyler Lockett there, but he had a 40-yard catch. The long for Lockett was 36. Both had touchdowns. Fant seems to always come up big. He comes up with a nice touchdown catch there. So, yeah, I thought as far as DK goes, that was a big test for him. And I think also the NFL loves that stuff, right? I mean, as long as it doesn't go too far and you don't have guys, pulling each other's helmets off and trying to hit each other with it or anything like that. I think it's a good, friendly sort of sports hate that is really good for the league. Those two guys going against each other twice a year.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. And it makes you just look forward to the next matchup. And I'm sure there'll be some talking from Ramsey, and perhaps DK will respond in kind. We'll see. But just a huge moment to see Geno and the offense pull off what they did in that drive. And Pete Carroll after the game talking about that.
Honestly, I've been aware that he needs that. He needs one of those chances to do it. It just hasn't worked out quite right. But he was incredible down the stretch. I wish you guys could see how poised he is, how clear he is to communicate with, how calm he is in the moments of the big moments and all. He's just on it. And he has to be performing the way he's performing so consistently for so long now. And it's a remarkable, statement that he's making about who he is and what he's all about. And just proud as heck of him.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And I'll say one thing that Pete said, hey, he hasn't really had that chance. He had that chance last week. Mm-hmm. He did. It didn't happen. Final drive of regulation, only possession in overtime, didn't happen. We talked about it. And on the heels of that, where you could be critical and go, man, you had opportunities and you didn't come through the way the elite quarterbacks do. Those are your moments. He did it this week on the road against a division rival. Yeah, they're hurt. They're banged up. Obviously, it's not the same team that they started the season with, but man, that was impressive to watch just how calm he was. Pete's right. He looked incredibly composed. It didn't look like there was any sort of, he wasn't frantic or anything. He didn't look like he was overwhelmed or the moment was too big. Just drove him down the field and came up with a huge touchdown. And just quickly, you talked about he didn't look like he was open. Here's Geno talking about that final play.
You know, the NFL is full of tight window throws. You're going to have to be able to make those. You got great defenders out there. Ramsey's a great corner. And on that play, DK was lined up on the backside. He came across on an over route. Ramsey was right on his back, and there was a safety kind of right in front of him. So there wasn't a huge window. But, I mean, when you got DK Metcalf, you know, big 6'4 receiver, 220, 230, it's going to be hard for those guys to get to the ball before he does. And so I just tried to put it on him, allow him to, you know, use his skill set, and he made a tremendous catch.
Yeah, he certainly did. I mean, it was beautiful throw, beautiful catch.
Yeah, and I thought because, look, you still had a chance to tie, right? You could have kicked a field goal there and tied the game up. But so, you know, the thing I was thinking is don't throw any tight window. You know, and that's just me being conservative and saying, hey, let's go to, you know, last thing you want to do is turn this ball over. And, you know, the fact that he was able to just, you know, go with his gut there and trust his receiver right there, I thought made it even better. It wasn't like he was wide open. You know, it was a very tightly contested catch there. So just trusting himself there in that situation, that's got to be something for Geno. I mean, we all talk about checking the box off. I'm sure he has that same thing going on in the back of his mind.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I saw it being qualified a bit, like, oh, on Twitter, it's social media, so you take it at face value. But, oh, they beat the Rams with a beat-up O-line and backup quarterback and no Cooper, no Aaron Donald, all that. And all of that's true, but it's still a division game. And we've seen this year after year after year, regardless of whether it's Sean McVay, whether it's Jeff Fisher, whether it's Jared Goff, whether it's Matt Stafford. It doesn't matter. These games, regardless of record, just for whatever reason, the Seahawks and the Rams get together very often. It's a problem, regardless of what's happening. And obviously yesterday was no exception. There were things that weren't great, and we'll get into, you know, some of what we saw on defense and all of that. But I just love the way they spread the ball. Offensively, the only thing that you look at is, boy, they couldn't run the ball. Now, obviously the injuries had a huge impact on that, but even prior to that, it just felt like, yeah, it's not there. I don't know if it's the blocking. I don't know what's going on. Ken Walker only had 3 carries, one of them for 30. So he had 2 other carries that went for 6 total yards. And then DJ Dallas had 37 yards on 10 carries. He's playing dinged up. I give him credit for getting out there. And then Tony Jones Jr., 7 carries, 14 yards. They just, not a lot happening on the ground for him once again.
Well, and it's nice to know that you have a quarterback that you can rely on in that situation, because, you know, they were totally depleted. I mean, at the point where later in the game when Tony Jones gets hit in the head, you're thinking, oh, who are they going to put back there? I mean, Rabel and I during the breaks are going, Nick Ballard, maybe. I mean, are they going to maybe put Marquise Goodwin back there? I don't know what they're going to do. Nobody who goes back there is really going to have much of a feel for how the run blocking goes. And even Tony Jones himself, I mean, during the week, if you're not a starter, you don't get a lot of reps. So they're able to lean pretty hard on Geno with 39 attempts. So, you know, they just went to the passing game. And so it was nice to know that they could do that. You know, I started to think about it like more like a fan during the week, where I was like, you know what? They don't have Aaron Donald. They don't have, you know, all these. And you can speculate. I mean, if they play that way and they do have Donald and Stafford and Kupp, probably lose that game. But, you know, I just got into it much more as a fan than like, you know, how you would as a player. It's like, okay, just get the next swinging, you know what, in there, and we'll go with it. Sorry, that's what Chuck used to say all the time. Just get the next swing in it. So
just the next available person.
Next available person, yeah. Yes. So, yeah, but it is what it is when the game starts and the situation and whatever happens. I don't know. You know, we'll talk about the run defense later, but, man, I was so irritated. I was on the air audibly upset.
If they could see you, they'd know you were upset too.
Well, they do have a GoPro thing up there, and I was pretty cranky that first drive. But, you know, but they adapted, you know. They got down there. This is the team that we're playing. You know, they were a little bit fired up. I thought a couple of times their defensive linemen were really attacking Austin Blythe because, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Blythe just walking through the airport or whatever, and you go, wow, that's our center. I mean, he's really good. He's super smart, but he's not the biggest guy. So they were kind of punching him into the backfield a couple of times, and you know they did some disruptive things that up front. That Greg Gaines, still a really good player, and you know they still had Jalen Ramsey, and Bobby played his tail off. So yeah, it was just a situation where okay, they were going to come out and play a certain kind of game, and you're going to have to play your best game in order to beat them, and that's what they did.
All right, let's take two.
Oh yeah, major move in the NFL today. The Panthers have waived Baker Mayfield. They just acquired him in July from the Browns, but he really struggled in Carolina, threw for 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, and he completed just over 57% of his passes.
Yeah, weird to see where he's fallen, and apparently it was a mutual thing. Reading the story, Dave, he found out he was not going to be the backup or even active, so he asked for his release, and they granted him that. So we'll see where he lands. Maybe he ends up with the 49ers because they've got quarterback needs now.
It's amazing in 2020 that he was 11-5. And, you know, and then that year, he was 63% completion, but he only threw 8 interceptions, 26 touchdowns. I always say, you know, players don't just suddenly become crappy like, you know, Jamal Adams or Russell Wilson. But I don't know what's going on with him. It's been kind of a steady decline, and yeah, I'm not sure what. At one point, we were thinking, hey, maybe he's the best one available here for this job in Seattle, and now he's asking for his release.
Well, the first in-person winter meetings in 3 seasons have seen some major hot stove movement. Justin Verlander signs with the Mets on a 2-year, $86 million deal. And Trey Turner goes to the Phillies, 11 years, $300 million, full no-trade clause.
Yeah, I was reading an article from Passan talking about the money spent so far in this offseason has surpassed $1 billion, Dave, the amount of money committed in totality. And that's without Aaron Judge signing yet. That's without Carlos Correa signing yet. Xander Bogaerts, Dansby Swanson. So an incredible amount of money being spent just between Verlander and Trey Turner. The word is that Aaron Judge will be there tomorrow. So usually players are there to generally announce or sign some with somebody. They're not just hanging out at the winter meeting. So we'll see what he ends up with. But, man, huge deals, being especially for a guy as old as Verlander is, who's going to turn 40 in February. He's going to make $43 million a year. It's just amazing.
You think this will be it for him? Is he thinking this is my last go here?
I don't know, unless he's still the – I mean, he goes 18-4 this year with a 1.75 ERA. I mean, I don't know.
Not declining skills.
No, if he's anything close to that, I mean, he'll be calling his own shots, obviously. If he still loves it and wants to play, I'm going to guess there'll be plenty of teams lining up for his services.
How old was Nolan Ryan when he retired?
That's a good question. I was at his last game as a fan.
Like his mid-40s?
I want to say so. Early 40s. I'll have to look. Lefko, yeah. Are you looking it up?
No, I can, though.
Oh, I thought you looked like you were intently looking at the computer screen there. But, yeah, Nolan Ryan was a guy that never really dealt with arm injuries, and then he kind of blew out his arm, gave up a grand slam to, I believe it was Dan Hewitt, I believe was the guy's name, at the Kingdom. How about
46
that?
Is what I see. 46, he retired.
46?
That age. So it's pretty freaky that you remember that home run there, Bob.
Well, being there, that was a big deal.
You always talk about me remembering some play from 2019. I'm like, what? Who? What?
that was a momentous occasion. I think that was it. Dan Hewitt. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's who it was. So
I'm going to say yes. Go with Dan Hewitt.
Okay. Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberknifeProstate. Coming up, the Seahawks got a win, but did they lose their run game in the process? We'll get deeper into that conversation next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. We got the Pete Carroll press conference coming up at 3 o'clock today. Seahawks got the win. What has happened, Dave, do you think, to their run game, though? I know injuries took place yesterday. We talked about that. But even before that, they weren't having a ton of success. They didn't have a ton of success with Tony Jones Jr. in there or DJ Dallas before he got dinged up. And again, kudos to him for going back into the game when they desperately needed somebody out there just to hand the ball to and fall forward, I guess. But they had 90 rushing yards in total in this game on 22 carries. What do you attribute that to outside of the injuries?
Well, I thought just a little bit that Pete trusts Geno enough to just, like, we got to throw the ball. I mean, we got to throw the ball more than we want to because of the running back situation. I mean, there was a couple of times where I felt like if you look at that run with Ken Walker, the first one that, what did he go for?
30
yards on that play.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a lot of him.
Yeah.
I mean, they really did a good job blocking. And here's what I'd like to see from our offensive line. I think they're, and this was the case with Shane Waldron when he came in. I remember the professor used to talk about this all the time, that, you know, that they use lighter guards and more athletic guys. And I think he was right that, you know, they have guys like Austin Blythe who, you know, he's not the biggest guy, but he's super smart and he's very athletic. And so, you know, but you do have some maulers in there, and I would like to see them get back to that, like have a nastier attitude. I feel like they all are kind of, you know, I don't know. They don't have that dog in them. Like, I don't see them getting angry. Austin Blythe, I'll say this, a few weeks ago, the show that I do on Thursday nights, they had him mic'd up for that show. And he's nastier than you would think. I mean, he's a super nice guy, and he's got a family and all that stuff. But on the field, I mean, it's not like he's passive or anything. But I just like to see, you know, a couple of what we talked about with Kobe Parkinson, pancake blocks.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, you know, some more nastiness there. But I do think that, number one, you didn't really get into much of a rhythm because, you know, and the first run, Kenneth Walker takes off. But then he only had 3 carries in the game.
Yeah, so the 2 other carries amounted to 6 total yards. And not, yeah, you know, you figure, we talked about that before when we talked with Turbin, and any other running back tells you, yeah, I just need those carries to get my rhythm. Yes. and get a sense of what the defense is responding to and how I'm going to set them up. So you expect a lot of carries that are going to be, you know, 2 yards, one, maybe no game, one, whatever. But just obviously the injury got in the way of that with him.
Well, and look, and Tony Jones did a great job. You know, love the kid for filling in and everything, but I mean, he's number 3 on the depth chart. I guarantee you didn't get a lot of reps during during the week, because that's how it goes in the NFL, especially when you get late in the season. Remember my rookie year, man? I was running down on kickoffs and stuff, and I was still the backup second string linebacker. But during the week, I was running scout team. That's all. That's all I did. I maybe got in for 2 plays or something, you know, during the week. So there's that. You know, it sounds like I'm making excuses, but, you know, they just didn't get it done. I think that they just realized we got to lean heavily on our pass game. So the other thing is, once Kenneth Walker goes down, DJ Dallas, I said this about him and Travis Homer both, I thought, upped their upside, like what their potential can be. But I thought Travis was not far and away, but a lot more that way than DJ was. Mm-hmm. I think DJ is a great football player. And, you know, he's your utility guy. We talk about him like a Dylan Moore type of guy. I just don't think DJ is ever going to be, you know, he's never going to sign a free agent contract with somebody to go be their starting running back. That's just how I feel about him. And it's not a slight. I think he's a really good player. But I just don't know that he has that. And that's where I thought they really needed Travis Homer. That would be nice to have him back. So there's
unfortunately,
that.
Sorry, Dave, that's been a big part of his story. His availability with Travis Homer.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a guy that is not carrying the ball a lot, I understand he plays on different teams, you know, special teams and things like that. He gets dinked up a fair amount, you know, for a guy who's, if he's an everyday back and he's getting, you know, 18 to 20 to 22 carries a game, you expect it. But with the amount of times he's involved, it's surprising that he gets hurt as often as he seems to, or is dealing with injury as often as he seems to.
Yeah. So, it's true. Yeah, it's something that will catch up with you. And then once you're that kind of guy, I mean, it doesn't usually turn around for you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the bad part. Because remember, he made that amazing transformation to where he looked like G.I. Joe when he came in that one year, man.
Yeah. He's in shape. Nobody's doubting his work ethic and how much time he's putting in. It's just, he's just not available all the time. Pete talking this morning with Brock and Saul, giving an injury update on Ken Walker.
We do understand what he has, he's got a strain, and he doesn't have an ankle sprain. He's got a strain in a particular part of his foot that we just got to help him through and see if we can get it to quiet down and all that. It's an unusual injury. I've never heard of this. It's just a little space that's just aggravated inside of his ankle that we've got to just help him, just do everything we can to get him back, see if he can come back and play. It's inflamed, and you can tell. The MRI showed it, you know, so we can see exactly what it is and where it is and all that, and now we have to determine how to manage it during the week and see what, you know, where he is next week and this weekend and see if he can play.
Is that a possibility that he could play this week?
At this point, yes, because we don't know how he's going to respond.
Yeah, he's a young guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's good to hear the sum up. I mean, it doesn't mean he will, but the fact that he's even thinking about it, like, yeah, we'll have to see, that possibility exists, and they need him. You know, I think that's pretty clear that he's by far and away their most effective running back, especially with Penny out for the season and what you just talked about with DJ Dallas and Homer. Now, Pete Carroll, one more from him, and then want to get your take on this, but he talked about they have guys they can use, and then he gives a little update on DJ.
DJ has somewhat of a high ankle issue, so we'll see how that goes too. I don't know about the MRIs with that yet. We haven't got that back, but we'll see how he goes. Tony Jones did a nice job, and you know, if we got to keep moving, we got guys that can play. We'll be all right.
Who are they, Dave? They got guys that can play. Who's he talking about?
Yeah, I'm not sure, man. you know, I think there's too many new injuries. We've never heard of this injury before. Yeah, I don't get it. They didn't have that when I played, Bob. Whatever that sprain is of inside of his ankle.
Yeah, he didn't even attempt a name. It must be a big, long name with lots of vowels or something.
I thought it was going to be like Liz Frank injury or something like that. But, yeah, anyway, we'll see what Tony Jones can do when, A, he can see, and B, he gets practice.
Yeah,
you know?
We'll talk to him about that. That's a good tease. leave that one there, Dave. We'll for those that don't know, we'll talk to him about his vision.
Don't worry, Bob. You afraid I'm going to give it away or something?
Yeah,
what's
know.
The matter with
I
you?
I know there's no history of that.
When have I ever done that?
I know there's no history of that. I don't know why I would have that fear. I'm just trying to be cautious, I think.
Yeah, I got you. I think also, like I said, if you can get Tony Jones in practice, into the game plan, all that kind of stuff, then maybe he, you know, becomes something better. But look, I mean, there's a reason why you were able to get him off of free agency, but maybe he can develop into something.
All right, coming up, it's a great way to start a Monday by airing our grievances, almost like Festivus, Dave. We're airing grievances. Coming, what's bugging Bob? Coming up next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
What's bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
We've got the Pete Carroll press conference coming up at 3 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. Perhaps we'll get some injury updates from him on Ken Walker and DJ Dallas and everything going on there. Meanwhile, what's bugging Bob? Well, I would talk run defense, but we'll get into that in a bit, Dave. So I'll save that. But that is bothering me.
Yes.
I don't, you know me, I'm not one to jump all over officials. And you've made it a point to talk about, hey, these guys by and large are great guys and they're there to help and, you know, they do a nice job. And I tend to agree with that. I think more of my issues when it comes to officials is in baseball with some of the umps, Angel Hernandez. But, I don't know what's gone on the past 2 weeks. I've watched football for far too long to feel like I don't understand how a call is made at this point. And that's how I'm starting to feel like, okay, maybe I just don't know what constitutes an interception. Or I didn't know you could fall to the ground, the guy's knee is down with possession of the ball, and you could just, he's being touched, so typically the play would be over, but you can just rip the ball from him, and that counts as an interception. We saw it last week with the forward progress play that was clearly a fumble that was ruled, oh, play was dead, forward progress was called. Okay, that's a judgment on the field. The DK Metcalf catch. I feel like just in the past 2 weeks, no excuses. That is not why the Seahawks lost last week, and that's not why they were trailing in this game or anything. But, boy, it is frustrating to see those moments when some of them appear to be obvious. Am I missing something about yesterday's call that was obvious?
No. I don't get it. Like, it's like somebody pointing to a square and constantly telling you it's a circle. It's not. It's a freaking square. That was ridiculous, man. I was angered on the air, too. I just was beside myself. I mean, you just – and then, you know, I was kind of texting with people like Adam Ray. He was texting me about Mark Sanchez and everything, and I'm like, what did Sanchez say? You know, and he said, did he say on the air, on the broadcast, it sounded like he didn't think it was an interception?
Yeah.
Mark Sanchez?
Yeah.
Who was doing the game?
I mean, at that point, I'm, it's just kind of white noise in the background. I just kept watching the replay going, I don't understand what's happening here. His knee's down. He's got possession. As he went down, yeah, then the ball started to come loose, but he'd already been touched with the knee down, and Bobby wrestled it away, and good on him, hustle play. But I just don't know how you look at that in slow motion. Full speed, okay, maybe you make a mistake. I get it. But when you see it in slow motion, you got multiple sets of eyes on it there at the field and back in New York, and they're on the headsets. How is it possible to come to that conclusion?
Yeah, I have no idea, man. It's like they're overthinking it. They're just they have these rules, I think. You know, and first of all, I think I'll say Tony Jones Jr. really could have done a better job of fighting for that ball. Mm-hmm. I think at one point he kind of let Bobby have it. And I think it was because he thought, oh, well, I'm for sure down. I mean, obviously I feel that my back is on the ground and I have the football in my hand. So, and when Bobby, you know, tried to wrestle it away, I felt like if he would have made a better, you know, like a twisting move and try to come over the top, almost like a wrestler there, that maybe that would have made his case a little bit better. So I thought there was just a tiny bit on him. But yeah, that was, I don't get it. It's like, I was thinking the same thing, Bob, like, have they just what is a catch? You know, I mean, they just grinded that thing into the ground to, like, now all of a sudden there are these rules that you have to go through and this dialogue that you have to have, and we're going to do this every time rather than just going with, like, your common sense. And I guess that sounds, well, my old shop teacher in eighth grade used to say, common sense, the sense that ain't so common. maybe that they need to get back to that. I feel like they're a little bit better. I haven't had much of a gripe with a catch until the DK thing. But for the most part, I feel like they've gotten those things pretty right. You know, I feel like they do get too picky on, is the ball moving? Well, if the ball's moving and it's still in the guy's hands, okay, I mean, it's a catch. It's in his hands. I don't care if it's moving or not. If it touches the ground, that's a different thing. I think they've kind of got that figured out, except for the moving part. But then this one was just totally bizarre. I felt like it set back instant replay like 20 years.
Well, and it feels like you see that all the time where a receiver, a running back, who a tight end, whoever makes the catch, they get tackled, they go to the ground. And then the defender oftentimes will grab the ball or knock it out of their hand, you know, for whatever reason.
Yes.
That play yesterday tells me, all right, there were a lot of missed opportunities all those other times that could have been turnovers that they didn't call. I mean, that's how obvious it felt to me. Like, wait a minute, what are we looking at? Why is this even a challenge? Why is this even, you know, taking the time to look at it and go, oh, no, we didn't get that right. That's he's down. He's down in that situation. And then the amount of time they took on that DK catch goes against everything we've ever talked about in replay, where it's got to be irrefutable, indisputable, whatever word you want to use. It's just obvious. Yep, we blew that. He was inbounds. He was out of bounds. He had possession. He didn't. If you have to take that long, it's not obvious. And it should not supersede the call on the field. So I just, these past 2 weeks, there have been three calls that stand out, obviously, because they all worked against the Seahawks. But I think you can make a case for each one of them going, what is happening? What are you looking at here?
Yeah. Well, the 360 said, I guess Sanchez was saying Bobby wanted it more, so that's why it was an interception. You know, I think there is something to that, though. I mean, even though he said it, like, who wants it more? I do think Tony Jones should have fought for that a lot harder and just, you know, entirely overdid it, like, grab it, wrestle it to the ground, you know, roll over, do, you know, whatever you have to do and keep fighting Bobby. At one point, he kind of just let go of the ball. So there is a little bit to that, that at least, you know, at least, it, I don't know, maybe he thought that it was so obvious that it didn't need to be done. That didn't need to be done. But I think a veteran move, I think a veteran running back probably would have done that. So just a tiny bit on him, but for the most part, it was just terrible.
Is that what Sanchez said? He just wanted it more, so that's why it's an interception.
I don't know.
I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear it either.
I don't know. That was just such an odd play. Somebody in the 360 said the explanation they gave on TV from New York is that the receiver has to complete the catch, and Bobby took it before he did, very much like a normal pass reception where you have to hold the ball through the catch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I think Tony Jones learned a lesson. I will say that. But, yeah, it just – when we went to break and Rabel and I were watching it on the replay, we're like, oh, that's ours.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we look down there and our defense is on the field. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
So weird. All right. All right. Well, hopefully that's not something we're talking about each week because that's boring. Yeah. All right. We'll get the latest injury updates and everything else from Pete Carroll. His weekly press conference is coming your way next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.